Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? On this beautiful Sunday. Sunday, Sunday. Good. Glad to hear it. Good, good, good. Good morning. Dorothy, please set your chat to everyone. Glad to hear it. Glad to see you guys getting going. Had to cancel out of what, Deborah? You set your chat to everybody? That's good. Not sure what you're trying to cancel out of, though. You mean to just leave? Okay. Deb, if you want to just leave, you just leave. You're not under any obligation to stay. South Carolina, where's everybody calling in from today? Okay, that's okay, Deb. You can just leave. Some people sign up and they never actually attend because other things came up. So just go ahead and leave. Patricia from Mount Shasta, California. Some of my favorite memories are houseboating on Lake Shasta every summer with my family. Good to see you, Pedro. Pedro, set your chat to everyone, please. Hi, Julie from San Diego. Georgia, Washington, Harrisonburg, Virginia. Wow. Canada. Angelica, I think you're going to have to narrow it down. We have others from Canada too. All right. See you later, Deb. Take care. Toronto. Okay. The UK. All right. Very nice. Arizona. Another Arizona. Austin, Texas. Inglewood, California. So fun to see all of the different places that everybody's from. Sweden. Oh, that's a new one. Welcome, York. Good to see you here. Good, good. Very exciting stuff. We are just waiting for Brandon to join us. Pedro, go ahead and set your chat to everybody, please. Southwest Florida. Did you get a lot of rain, Karima? Dayton, Florida. Did you guys just get flooded over there or what? El Paso. Hi, Violetta. Good to see you. Well, you know what I mean. El Paso, Texas. Very good. Lots of rain. Las Vegas. Sacramento. My brothers used to live in Sacramento, April. Now they're back in the Bay. Yeah. Yes. Good to see everybody. Lafayette, Patricia. La La Lafayette went to Berkeley, moved to the Midwest about 20 years ago. Still don't like winter. Thanks, Pedro, for checking that. Yeah, good to see everybody. Hopefully, we will have. Hi, Philip. Good to see you here. I always miss a day without Philip. Only 103 in Las Vegas. Ugh. Tucson. Elsa, please set your chat to everybody, please. And we're kind of having a, I guess you would call it a cold snap here in the Midwest, starting to set some records on. Cool mornings. I personally am loving it. I have all the doors and windows open. So I really am enjoying that. And my fish are starting to bite again. So that's good. Hi, Rick from LA. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, 103 would not be my jam. Yeah. And humid in South Carolina, I would imagine. Right? Yeah, humidity is something I never knew about until I moved to the Midwest. So where I'm from, like in the Bay Area, even in the summer, it'll cool down to like 40 or 50 degrees, you know, because the fog rolls in. And then I moved to the Midwest, and during the summer, you can go outside at 10 o'clock at night, it's 80 degrees. So weird. Not used to that. Still not. All right, there comes Brandon. Look how handsome he looks in this picture. Not that he doesn't look handsome all the time, but you know what I'm saying.
Hello, hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. I just saw that no more Lori.
No more Lori until that weekend that I'm not going to be
Yeah.
here. Yeah. So it's all good. At least I hope so, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll be good.
All
We'll find
right.
a sub in there. Let me share these slides. There we go.
Okay,
All right.
Sunday Savages. You want me to do the slides this week since you did them last week?
Sure.
Okay, I'll just,
Let's roll.
I'm sure you can figure out when to progress the slides. Okay, good morning, everybody. If you have been here for the first time, do me a favor, put a one into the chat because we always want to see who is new, right? Oh, look at all those ones, Brandon. That's awesome. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Sharon put in a two. This maybe that means her, this is her second meeting. Well, for all you newbies, welcome, welcome, and welcome to everybody else. In case you haven't heard, Sundays are nothing short of Sunday savages because who gets up and works on their business on a Sunday? We all do. And that just makes us savages. So I am very excited to see all of you guys here. All right, moving on. So the Q&A. First thing that we're going to do, just to let you know about the format, we are going to review the pre-submitted questions first. You can find that on the AIA dashboard. You simply ask it here. Typically, that takes us 45 to 60 minutes to get those done. Also, you should be aware that right around an hour before the meeting, we cut it off. So if you submitted a question through the Ask It Here, we won't get it for this call. So my suggestion is put it into the Q&A for this call if you're here now. All right, moving on. Special segments. Sometimes we have special segments where we do topic-specific live training, but you should know that proof of concept is done on Thursdays. Friday is all about tech. And then I think Tuesdays are book covers and titles, right, Brandon?
I don't recall, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that because it sounds good. Philip says yes. So if Philip says it is, then it's true.
Thank you,
We
Caleb.
review, we review book covers and titles. Sometimes we do student interviews, quizzes. And if you have any ideas for a good segment, we would love to hear it. So just put it in the chat. All right. Please submit your questions for the live call in the Q&A, which is down across the bottom of your Zoom controls. It says Q&A. If you put them into the chat, most likely we will miss them. If you have like some simple questions, the chat is a wonderful group of people who will probably be able to answer a question like how do I take a screenshot or something like that, or share a Google Doc. But for questions specifically for Brandon and myself, please put them into the Q&A. By the way, we want to just let everybody know we've got typically over 100 people on these calls, and many are at all different parts. You might be just starting, maybe you're in, you know, doing your Audible book, whatever. So we get so many questions, we do our best to choose the ones that will be applicable and helpful to the majority of the attendees on the call. We would rather spend more time going deep than going wide. All right. Sometimes you might have a question that's kind of one of those I need to ask about my account or the new AI platform and how that's going to work for me and the pay and all of that. That's not in our wheelhouse. So you simply need to go to help.publishing.com for anything account related. Katie Spy, Incognito Chrome, any questions like that, your 7-day challenge. Please remember this call is for typically 30K books and pen names. So anything like that, head on over to help.publishing.com. And moving on. Please, everybody, if You could put your chat to everyone. As I mentioned before, we have a lot of super helpful people on here. And so you can ask a question in there. Like I can see everybody right now. Somebody is asking if every Q&A has something specific, like a specific topic, which we don't, but other people are answering that. Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, in case you don't know, and I'm sure you do, publishing.ai is now open to everybody. What can it offer you? Book topic ideas, customer research, which is phenomenal. In the olden days, customer research took 2 to 3 weeks, and it was a major pain in the culo. So be excited that this is done for you now. Book outlines, book descriptions, and even generating a 30,000 word manuscript. I generated a 30,000 word manuscript last, not what, last week, but the week before. Took 45 minutes. It kind of blew my mind. I was kind of freaked out, actually. All right, is this the right one? Is this today's? Awesome. All
This
right,
time it
so
is.
Publishing Services is a company that a lot of students use. So they are offering a developmental editing and humanizing package for your AI manuscript. The code for that is perfect edit 10. Spell it all out in caps. All right. Ready to dig in? Donna, if you have a
Let's
question,
do
you
this.
either put it into the chat or put it into the Q&A. We do not answer questions from hands raised.
All righty, let's get to it. I'll
Okay.
kick it off. We got Aliyah. My outline in publishing AI is currently estimated to be about 38,000 words. Is this okay? I wanted to be sure I'm addressing all the pain points from my customer research, and I know nothing about my topic. I'm figuring that once the manuscript is written, I will go in and read it and remove anything repetitive or any extra fluff. All right, so I think that's totally fine, as long as the extra word count is for the sake of the value, and you need to have those topics in there. It's totally fine. And then with the editing, you're definitely going to bring it down a little bit more as well. Just I would advise not to go higher than 40, because then at that point you don't want to really dig into too deep into your publishing margins. But if you need the 38K, then that's totally fine. Just make sure to cut all the necessary unnecessary things from it once you have it generated. All right.
Okay, I'll take this one. This is also from Aaliyah. My customer research indicates that my readers would like to see checklists and quizzes at the end of each chapter. I've asked for this in my visualization. When I look at the introduction and the outline AI generated, it states the book will include quizzes and checklists, but when I look at the chapters itself themselves, I don't see anything listed. Yes, you will need to add that, Aaliyah. So just keep this in mind. The manuscript will not generate those things unless it's changed. It's not going to do things like checklists, quizzes, instructions to build a solar panel, instructions to do a squat. It doesn't do those things. It does more of the overall, but those specific things, I would go to ChatGPT and create them there.
All right, so we got George. Happy Sunday. It is quite a happy Sunday. Let's do this. Title review. You got two options here for the subtitle: Outdoor Survival Skills for All Age Kids. Okay, subtitles is what we're taking a look at. So, learn to perform first aid, safely start a fire, build shelter, filter water, find food. To go gain confidence and independence. And then we got sub two, learn to perform first aid, safely start a fire, build shelter, filter water, find food to prepare for outdoor and urban emergencies. All right. So, I mean, right away, there's a little bit of a disconnect in here. I don't think two is going to be the right connecting word in there. It should maybe be and gain the confidence to be independent or whatever it might be. So I think in both scenarios, the connecting word is just hurting the readability a little bit more. And I'm guessing this 164 is including the main title as well. But it kind of looks short for being 164 characters, but I will say that's the main thing. It's this connecting word that's really getting in the way. Other than that, I think you have your pain point benefits in there. Anything else that you could add would be something like, practical techniques or easy, fun, right? Because you want to also leave some of the subtitle to just let people know what kind of content it's going to be, especially when it's something that's going to be for kids. You're going to let them know it's easy. You're going to let them know it's going to be fun. So that's something that you could incorporate, but definitely don't incorporate it if your character count is getting too high. But I think that's the main thing that it's missing. What do you think?
I think instead of learn to, I would probably have something like step-by-step instructions, since you have a little bit of room in that first one. In addition to that, I like the first subtitle better than the second because it's a little fear-mongering to say we're going to have outdoor and urban emergencies. I would much rather have my kid be confident and independent then play on the fears of parents and then subsequently kids, right? In my book title. That's just me personally. As a parent, even though my kids are grown, I would definitely say I want my kids to be confident and independent, right? And able to handle any challenge that might come up, but not necessarily talk about urban emergencies and that kind of thing. Because that can lead us down a whole
Yeah.
other path, right?
And realistically, it's an entertainment book. Kids aren't actually going to be using this to survive in the wild.
Yeah, exactly. Unless they're going to burn it and start a fire. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding, George. Totally kidding there. Yeah, the other thing I was going to say is you have the ability now to set a reading level. So keep that in mind. That you don't want to have an advanced reading level if you're writing a book for all age kids. I also am kind of, I like the outdoor survival skills for kids that I know that that's the topic. But when you say all age kids, that's a really broad spectrum. Because, I'm thinking a 3-year-old versus a 15-year-old had a very different reading level and all that kind of stuff. So keep that in mind. Maybe you want to niche it down for kids ages 10 to 20 or 10 to 18 or something, or just make it simply for kids and let the parent decide. Yeah. So just keep that in mind, George. Okay,
Next up.
he says all age was to make the title different from the competition. George, when we have a title, typically the main title is going to be very similar to the competition, and it's the subtitle that's going to separate us from the forest and the trees. Right, so what are we looking at? Book covers?
Oh, just getting that link ready. I'll bring it back to the question itself. Oopsie.
Or not.
Let's do this. I didn't get a chance to organize the links today, but we will get through it.
Dave, if you've got a question, please put it into the Q&A and switch your chat to everyone. Okay, Sarah, I would appreciate your feedback on my two covers. The topic is castor oil. I've redone my cover as the original is not generating sales. Fair enough. The two I'm showing you are completely different. As I've evaluated the competition, the majority of the covers are boring and bland. However, they all have something in common and an image of the castor oil plant. So that's why I have two done. All right, let's take a look.
Yeah, let's take a look. I think we took a look at these covers before, so I think
Yeah,
this is the
this is
same.
the one that we thought that it looked like a shampoo commercial.
Oh, okay.
The original, I think. I don't know.
I think so. Okay, let's do this.
Ooh.
Let me zoom out a little bit so we can see.
As you said, she had castor oil effect in both of them. No, or an image of castor
The
oil.
plant.
Yeah, so I only see one. True
She did say they were both completely different. So
that.
maybe this is what she meant.
Yep. All right, I'll be honest. I like the top images better than the youthful beauty picture down there, because I think when you have that youthful beauty picture, you eliminate some of your target audience, because people look at that and go, that's not me. I mean, that person's probably, I don't know, 25. They're not 60, right? So that would be me. I don't like the subtitle all crammed into that little corner. I think I would stretch that out a little bit. Move the image down. Make your pen name smaller always in font size than the subtitle. I like this image. I'm not sure about the leaf, because I think I look at that leaf, and although it's not, I was like, wait, is that a pot leaf? I don't know. What do you think?
All right, let's take a look. Yeah, this one's definitely not it. Just, I don't think it's the right imagery, but also you have these hard lines in here, which makes it look just really unprofessional here. But yeah, I don't think that's going to be the right way to go. Now it looks like a cream commercial. Might have even seen that picture before.
Noxema or Dove?
Yeah. This one, I mean, at least we have the plant, we have some oil in there. I still think it needs work. I think what Libby said is totally on point. The subtitle could look a little bit better.
I
And
also
then, I
think the
mean,
dripping oil is distracting.
maybe just
Right.
have like one drip right at the oil part, but I don't think the O needs this giant drip and then this.
Or in the A.
And I get what they put the subtitle there because it's you can't really put it anywhere else, but you should definitely move it somewhere else. Find a way to kind of restructure things. Maybe you don't need this leaf and you can create a little bit more space in there. But I think they both need work, to be honest. I don't think the winner is among these two.
Great. Yep, I'm with you. Hopefully that's
Yeah.
helpful, Sarah.
Yeah. But just to shorten it, try removing some of these oil drips, move the subtitle, try to move it down. You can move the image up. Focus on the oil. I mean, I don't really know much about castor oil. Maybe this is the plant that it comes from and stuff. I really don't know, but I think you can make your point across with less
Plan.
items and have more room in there.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I would
have a little bit
agree.
more room. And honestly, I don't think black is the color.
Yeah, it's really strong and is
Yeah.
more of a businessy effect than something
Yeah.
like even purple or a shade of light blue or something like that. That's a little bit more, and I'm going to say it, feminine. Because I would imagine from your customer research that much of your demographic is female. So there you go.
All right. Yeah. Let's do this next question.
Donna, we don't call on people who've raised their hands. If you have a question, please either put it into the chat or into the Q&A.
All right. So we have Sandra. I noticed a message saying sign in while I was on the last Q&A call. When we attend these live Q&A calls, are we supposed to be signed in, like with a password, or are we okay just hitting the join meeting from the email? Yep, that's all you do. Join the meeting from the email and you should be good to go. I'm not aware of any sign-in process. Is that correct, Libby?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah, I just clicked the link on the email too, so we're good.
Hey, this is from Amber. I published a book in October of 2022, made over 23,000 in royalties. Yay! However, book sales have continuously dropped. While doing the AIA training, saw many things we missed, like ebook, audiobook, hardback, and a review page, A plus content, Amazon ads, etc. Currently have 136 reviews with a 4.6 star rating. How would you suggest going back and doing the steps I missed? Okay. Amber, what's really awesome is it's never too late to give your book another kick in the pants. So let's do it. First thing I would do is make sure your A plus content is completed. Secondly, do you have an author page, author profile set up somewhere, right? That's another thing. If you've watched ever the Sales Booster series, it's going to have some stuff in there about price anchoring. So I'd watch that as well. And then watch the lessons on Amazon ads. You can, in addition to that, you can always run some promo days, right? And see if you can get a little bit more traction. And I would try doing that and just giving it, just go through the steps like you are publishing a book for the first time and just make sure that you've got all of those things covered and make it happen.
Yep. You can still do all those things, no problem.
No sweat.
All right. So we got Teresa. My outline is being done by Publishing Services and will be passed on to a ghostwriter shortly. What should I focus on now? Book cover or engaging in Facebook groups? All right. Well, honestly, both. It's never too early to start engaging in Facebook groups. And book cover, as long as you have a solid title. Maybe bring it out to the Q&A call, let us take a look. And as long as you have a solid book title, then you can start that 99 to sign contest. So yeah, totally.
Both for sure.
And since you are using a ghostwriter, just make sure you're going chapter by chapter, you're reviewing the work and just making sure that everything is following the outline and something that you're going to be happy with. But and all those steps are, big enough as they are. So focus on those and then move on to the next ones after that.
This is from Elise. Still determining my subtitle. Can I use relieve anxiety as it is a claim and not accepted? Ooh, we just had a whole bunch of dialogue go through the chat for coaches. All right, adult DPT made simple. Discover the four strategies for relieving anxiety, developing emotional regulation, and improving interpersonal effectiveness in just a few minutes daily. Okay. So, Elise, couple of things. Number one, I'm not sure I would use relieve. I would use the word reduce, right? Because reduce is like I'm not promising you anything, but I'm saying that it's going to go down and it's not really, a scale, right? I would also take out any ing words. So you've got relieving, developing, and improving. I would, if you're going to keep relieving, I would say relieve, develop, improve. Because those words carry more weight than the ing words. They sound more definitive and more confident. In just a few minutes daily, I would put in just a few minutes a day, not daily, because it reads weird, right? So that's how I would change your subtitle. But I think you've got some good meat. I would just kind of make those simple little tweaks there. And what do you think? Reduce or relieve anxiety, Brandon?
I mean, I definitely think reduce is less claimish. Yeah, I think so. And if you want to be super safe, manage. But yeah. All right. And I think those changes that Libby said is going to enhance this like 70%, 80%. You're going to be there. All right. Let's move on. So we have Emma. I already have a book written and would like to narrate the audio myself. Can AIA help me guide how to do this? Emma, what I'm going to say is, I mean, I think we do have a course lesson, if I'm not mistaken, that kind of points you in the right direction. But if you're not an audio engineer or something of an audio recording person, I would just say outsource this because outsourcing this is actually really cheap compared to the actual work that goes into it. Not to mention quality, right? If you really wanted to have quality, like some of the narrators on ACX, you would need to invest a few $1,000s into the right gear, to be honest, soundproof your room, do all sorts of things. So honestly, I would say outsource it. If not, we should have a lesson in the course. Just go on the search bar and search up ACX narration. And then it should pull it up in there. It's an older lesson. It will give you what you need, but I highly suggest that you outsource this and not do it yourself.
Yeah, I paid 180 for
All
my
right.
books to be narrated. How about you?
Yeah, I think around the same. Sometimes goes to 200, depends on who you pick, but yeah, trust me, I think it takes them. I don't even know why people do this, because I'm sure, like, unless they're fully really experienced, this does take a long time, because I've tried it. I have tried it, and I do have the gear. I don't know how these people make a
No
living
walk in the
narrating
park.
audiobooks.
Yeah, it's no
No,
walk in the
just
park.
recording it is, I mean, it's relatively okay, but then the editing and putting it all together and then just meeting all the standards within ACX, it's quite a bit. But if you really want to go in and embark on the journey about learning this stuff, check out the lesson. It's a good starting point, but you're going to have to invest into more than what AIA can do, because we don't specialize in this. We don't really teach this. We just have a lesson to help you get started. But yeah.
Hey, this is from Christy. I'm doing my proof of concept right now. My question is, when I search for topics like menopause only, I get good results, three or more. Same when searching for topics like herbal remedies, results are good. But if I try to get more specific, like natural menopause relief or herbal remedies for beginners, not so good. Being too general or just searching menopause or just herbal remedies. I don't know. What do you think, Brandon? I know that you can niche down. Like herbal remedies for beginners, Hazmat POC and menopause. I think natural menopause is going to be hard, but if you wrote a book about menopause, you could in the subtitle have, part of that description be natural. But I think menopause is the top is a topic that'll meet POC and not be too broad. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think, and I mean, I haven't searched up natural menopause, but I don't really know if that's going to be a full-on thriving topic within Amazon. I'm
It
not
is.
sure.
It is.
Is it actually?
Yeah, I have
Yeah.
three or four students that are writing books about menopause.
But natural menopause.
Natural menopause, no. Menopause, yes.
Because that makes it seem like you're doing it with natural remedies, and I'm sure there's books
Right.
about it, but when you go too niche down into some stuff, it doesn't always pass our criteria.
Right.
What was the question here?
If those were
Am I
just
being too general?
too general searching menopause, and I don't
Oh,
think so.
yeah. I don't think it's too general. I think it's as niche as you can really go in these two.
Yeah, but she's talking about relief, natural menopause relief, Philip.
I
Oh,
would just
that's
stick with
okay.
menopause. And
Yeah,
then I
true.
think relief and the word natural, I mean, natural does kind of change the direction a little bit, but I think the word relief is just a title word, not a
Yeah, like
POC word.
a subtitle word. Same with herbal remedies.
Yeah. So don't confuse some of the words that are usually tied to it as part of the proof of concept, or they not always are. Sometimes, yes. Like when we have for beginners, they have turned into like part of the POC words, but it doesn't always necessarily mean you have to use it as the POC word. All right, next one. So we got Mary. Please put this question toward, oops, I did not see this. All right, well, there's always a recording, Mary. Is Mary in here?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. Let me look.
Let's see. We have some Marias, some Marianne's, Marie, and Marina. All right.
Some
Well, hopefully you're one of
Mari
them.
here.
If not, there's always a recording. But let's do this.
Oh no, she is here. She's here. She's here. Yep.
Oh,
Let's do it.
awesome. Even better. Even better. Okay. I have attached covers here. In response to my quality stamp of approval, there were concerns brought up about my cover, subtitle length. The advice was to make it three lines, font not easy to read, bland colors. The advice was even black would pop. Please compare the comment. I would appreciate the expertise. I want to make it the best possible. All right. So, I mean, that sounds like some great advice, but let's take a look and let's see what we got. Oh, Mary, I need access to this. I'm going to request access, and then once you have approved it, just type in a message in the chat. Just request. There we go. So let's bring back up the slides. And you said Mary's in the call, right?
Yep, she's here.
All right. So Mary, just give it approval for us and just let us know when that's done, and then we'll come back to this question.
What are some examples of strong lead magnets for personal finance for teens? Oh, golly. I guess one would be, did you try actually Googling this with ChatGPT? Like searching on
That's a good idea.
ChatGPT, right? That's what I would do personally. All right. So some ideas that I have, and this is not a niche for me at all. How about you, Brandon? No. Yeah, I would use Chat Teresa, but I think you've got things like independence, paying for education, starting out your financial career with stability, stuff like that, that could lead someone to a book about personal finance for teens. Okay, Marina says it's available. So that's my
Sounds
suggestion,
good.
Teresa, is use chat.
Strong lead magnets. Yeah, it's a little bit of a hard one because teens are quite a the unconcerned bunch.
Apathetic is the term.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's personal finance, you can do like a list of investment strategies that young people can take advantage of.
Right.
You could try and get like really creative and like maybe do something along the lines of like cryptocurrency. I mean, teens like that.
Yeah, they like
I
stuff like
like it. I mean,
that.
I'm not a teen, but I do like it. But I think teens are a lot more tapped into that kind of stuff.
Shopping. If you're talking about girls, like the more money you make, the more shopping you get to go do, right? Teen bucket list is, yeah, I don't know.
Could be
Senior
like
spring break trip. Yeah, I don't know. My kids
could
know.
be like a yeah, like a bucket list planner. But I guess okay, but it's personal finance, so it would have to be more on terms of money. I think investment strategies that teens can use would be the best one of like the best thing that I can really think of.
And I think desired outcomes, like what are they going to get with, managing personal finance, right? Which might be education, it might be a trip, it might be shopping, it might be things that teens want, right? Or maybe it's investing in their future or something like that.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things.
Yep.
All right, so let's go on to the last question.
So I think Mari said her book covers are open now.
Awesome. Let's take a look. Right, let me refresh the page. There we go. Thank you for that. And just a side note, those books are usually bought by parents, anything for teens. So maybe pick something that a parent would be like, hey, my kid needs this. They might not want it, but maybe they need it. That could be a good way to go about it. All right. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Think it was your turn to take this one first.
Is it? Okay.
What do you think?
I think that the feedback that you got from QSA is right on, that the colors are super muted. Even the bottom number three, I would still make that significantly darker. The problem is when I'm looking at the cover, just remember that somebody is scrolling through typically on their phone to look for stuff. So if your cover just is going to be like this big, it's just going to look washed out, right? I wouldn't even stop. So You've got to really make the cover pop. You also need to make the background pop. You could still have these images, but I would still make the whole thing a different color. This kind of looks to me like a parchment paper kind of cover. And in this day and age, we really need it to stand out. Personally, I would look at other covers in the niche. Typically, I see a lot of niche colors. Like, for example, if we're talking about money skills for teens, the covers are green, yellow, and white, typically. Now, do you have to follow that color scheme? No, but you could tie in the yellow to make it look like your cover belongs, but have a different color to make sure it stands out. See the strategy there? And here I would look at what other people are doing. And then I would change the color to be that accordingly. And everything in here is four or five lines for the subtitle. Make the subtitle smaller and just have it read across three lines. And make your pen name smaller, because don't take this wrong, but we don't care who wrote it unless your name is Oprah. And I think that's all I got. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, all that, I would say put like new text on it. Background picture is kind of cool. I've always liked textured pictures. It could definitely, I see why they told you to black it out a little bit on the top and the bottom. The way it kind of fades to white is a little bit confusing, but I mean, it's not bad. It makes it look a little bit rugged at the bottom. But I would say the thing that's really and really going wrong here is going to be the text.
Yeah.
Not only just spacing it out and making a different color and making it pop, but just the text overall. This kind of looks like you made it on Canva, to be honest. So I think you should totally go to a designer and have them put just really bold and popping text on this, because it's just not doing it right now.
Yeah. And there's some great comments too, Mari, in the chat. So I would pay attention to those about color. I like David's ideas, camo. Yeah, so stuff like that. All right, moving on. Hope
All
that
right.
helps.
All right, so we spoke about Teresa, Ellie. I think it's my turn. Of the reviewers, I'm to line up. Should I only ask those people that have spent $50 on Amazon? Should I only send early reviewer copy to those who have spent $50 plus on Amazon? I'm not able to watch live. I will be watching the recording. All right, Ellie. I mean, that's going to be, I think, not a great question to ask them beforehand. Have you spent $50 on Amazon? I think they're gonna be like, what? What do you want to know
Yeah,
that?
right.
I don't think they're really gonna, I think there's gonna be a disconnect there. So don't worry about that. Just send it off to everybody that has agreed to review it. Worst comes to worst, they haven't spent money on Amazon, and that's okay. That's just going to be part of the business. In that case, just let them know, hey, well, next time you shop something, leave a review. And that's as much as we can really do. We can't really control that part.
Yeah, just really make sure that you get people to give you an acknowledgement that they are willing to leave a review when you send them the book. I have a student who sent out over 400 copies of his advanced reader team. Guess how many reviews he's had last time I talked to him?
30.
30
30?
out of
Damn.
400, right? But I don't think he confirmed with them. Hey, I just want to confirm before I send you my book that you're going to be able to leave me a review. Yes? No. And if they
That
don't
happened.
respond, you know it's no, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Don't forget that filtering message, everybody. Make sure before you take action, you review the course lessons and make sure you're doing it by the book.
Yep. Okay. I think this is for me, right? This is from Nadia. Can I get your feedback on this title, please? The book topic is relationship anxiety. Relationship anxiety and overthinking recovery, a hassle-free guide to understanding attachment styles, healing past wounds, boosting self-esteem, building trust, improving communication, and achieving wellness. I feel like there's a massive amount of word stuffing in there. And then anybody who's been on the call is going to hear me say this. What do I not like in titles? Come on, guys. What is it? What is that one thing I really don't? ING. Philip's got it, right? So again, so does John. Taking out those ING. So hassle-free guide. You don't need the A here. We get that it's a book, or it's a thing. Hassle-free guide to understand attachment styles, heal past wounds, boost self-esteem, build trust, improve communication, and achieve wellness. So I'm not sure though, when I look at this, how achieving wellness is really attaching, is equating to relationship stuff, right? I might achieve deeper understandings or deeper connections or something like that, but achieving wellness sounds really ambiguous, right? And it's kind of all over the place with like, what am I trying to do here? So understand attachment styles. Okay, I need to do that because it's about relationship anxiety. Is this anxious attachment recovery though? That's a little bit different. Anyway, heal past wounds. Okay. Boost self-esteem, build trust, improve communication. I feel like there's just a lot of word stuffing in here. You can make it read a lot better and trim out some of these words. I'm wondering what the pain points are that you've got with this book topic. And what exactly is the book topic? Is it relationship anxiety or is it overthinking recovery? Not sure. So you might want to trim that down as well. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, you might be trying to hit
Yeah, I think
too
you're
many
too
things at
broad.
once. And I'm pretty sure I've seen a book that talks about both relationship anxiety and overthinking, but it was just one. But most people were either doing a one about overthinking or relationship anxiety.
Right,
So
right.
look into it.
I
And
mean, you could use the phrase overthinking and stop in your subtitle, right? But in a main title,
yeah.
I'm all over the place. What is it about? Because overthinking recovery, I can sure overthink way more things than my relationships. I can overthink my lunch for an hour if I want to, right?
Just make sure to have a strong closing line in there.
Right.
Right now, it's just kind of like a list. And that's why it feels like it's a lot of keyword stuffing. But try to end it off with like a longer statement, really paint a picture for them of what doing all these things, achieving all these pain points is going to look like in the end. Make it positive. But make it specific, right? Achieving wellness is something that you can do in any niche. And
Right.
that's the issue. And that's the issue. Yeah.
My diet, my exercise, my sleep, you name it, I can achieve wellness by improving any of those.
And wellness is very subjective. I'm sure
It
what
is.
I consider wellness is not what other people would consider wellness, right? So
Yeah.
it is, you have opportunity to get a lot more specific and really speak to that person. So when they read it, they're like, wow, that's me. That's what I want. That's my issue. And that's when we get those impulse purchases.
Yep.
All right, next up. Is that it? Never mind.
Nope. All right. This is from Elena. I'm asking for a solution. This week, I'm trying and struggling to schedule my third coaching session. I'm in audiobook and Impact Academy, not the accelerator program. That said, I'm not able to schedule my session because the button for scheduling is not working. Your connection is not private. The support team tried to help me. I followed their instructions, not working. See the same screen I provided above. So frustrated, disappointed, my issue is not resolved. Asking the support team to send me a link to my email so I can schedule my coaching session. I'm still waiting, no link. My question is, who can help me get the link or what person can I reach? Went through all the modules to find that button. It was before. Now all the steps guide to the accelerator program and blocked me because I'm in a different program. And as the button on my program does not exist anymore. Okay, I was asking for technical support. No responses on that either. Really upset. How long do I have to wait to resolve that issue? Be helpful and appreciate your assistance. Oh boy. Okay, Elena, I wish I could like wave this magic wand and have it all be correct and understood exactly what was going on, but I don't. I know that the basic thing is that you can't get your call scheduled, and I'm sorry for that. It seems like you've reached out to support before and they tried to help you, but it didn't work. So did you follow up? I'm hoping that you followed up and told them that the issue is not resolved. Asking support to send the link, but still waiting. Yeah, I'm sorry to say, as far as I can tell, that's the only solution that I can think of is just to keep after support. They should be able to help you at some point. They'll get the right person, right? And then what do
Yeah.
you think, Brandon?
Take a screenshot of that error message and just be like, hey, like I followed the instructions. It's still not working. And then yeah, because I do remember when there was coaching calls for the AIA. That was a long time ago. That's a long time ago. So reach out to them. And if you already have, they just haven't answered yet, I'm sure they're looking for some sort of solution to mitigate that because that was a long time ago. That was I think 4 years, 4 years ago. But follow up with them and just let them know that you tried their steps. It doesn't work. And I think that's the best that we can really do because we're not the those tech people that can that have this. It has to be done through their backend team. So I'm sure they've already reached out to their backend team. Hold on tight, but reach out to them again. All right. Keep reaching out to them. Unfortunately, I think that's the best thing that we can do for now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Let me just see. So it looks like they did send you some instructions, but it's still not working.
Oh. Sorry, Elena. She said she did send her screenshot, gave the same
Yeah.
instructions, which doesn't work. Just sorry, Elena. Just keep after that, please.
Session. Yeah. Let them know it's still not working. There has to be some sort of manual way for them to kind of for them to kind of do that.
Override it
But
or something.
reach out to them and honestly ask if you can speak to a supervisor. Ask if you can speak to a supervisor, someone that maybe has been there longer and can actually one of the support supervisors and they can actually know exactly what you're talking about. All righty. Let's do this.
Hey, this
So we got
is
April. I think this one's mine.
okay.
Still working on the subtitle, The Joy of Greenhouse Gardening for Beginners. Okay. Build cost effectively. Does that make sense? Build cost effectively.
No.
Build cost effectively with simple ideas for growing organic vegetables and fruits, maximizing year-round abundance with pride and success. I'm not sure what pride has to do with gardening. I think you're using a word that, sure, it could fit there, but I think you could replace it with something that might be a little bit more along the niche and can actually have some keyword value for you. But discover cost-effective ways to build and manage an organic garden that thrives year-round and maximizes space. I think these are starting points. I think these are decent starting points. But they're missing a little bit of something. So you can start by eliminating this cost effectively. It doesn't really seem to flow too well.
Not in that one.
Yeah. Simple ideas for growing organic vegetable and fruit, maximizing year-round. And then I think you might also may want to restructure this a little bit. Year-round with abundance, pride, and success. Okay, so what I'm seeing is you have your growing organic vegetables and fruits, maximizing year-round abundance. I think you can have one more pain point benefit in there, and cut some of the words that just aren't really doing much for it. So the pride, success, you could put that in somewhere else, maybe. I think there could be a better way to end it off, and cost effectively. Also, simple ideas might be a little bit, you might be able to use a word that's going to be shorter than that instead of going into simple ideas. It could be simple, cost-effective methods for growing, and then you can list out. But yeah, I think this is a good starting point, but you're missing a few elements. I think you might be missing a pain point benefit in there, and also structure is a little bit off. Now, this one, the beginning is a little bit more focused. Discover cost-effective ways to build and manage an organic garden that thrives year-round and maximizes space. I think it's just missing a pain point benefit in there. And once you insert that, it's going to really change it. And try to have a stronger closing line. Right now we have thrives year-round and maximize. You're ending it off with maximize the space, but I think after you add something within here, you might be able to end with organic garden that thrives year-round. That's like a lot more attractive. And you could kind of expand on it a little bit. So that's my feedback. What do you think, Libby?
Yeah, I would agree. I like the start of the second subtitle, Discover Cost-Effective Ways to Build and Manage. Okay, so an organic garden.
Oh, we have ING words as well.
Yeah, that makes me freaked out, you know. So I like the second one better, to build, manage an organic garden. I would put something like to build and manage a year-round garden, organic garden, like stick that in front. And then something, I would probably add something about, maximizing the space, number one, but also what's the end result is I'm going to get, food, fruits, and produce year-round, no matter where I live, right? If you've got a good greenhouse. So that would just be something that I would do to play around with this. I would also look at other books in this niche. What do they have in their subtitles? What kinds of things are they honing in on? Especially the three most successful books. What do they have in their subtitle? Not that I'm asking you to copy that. I'm just asking you to do a little bit of research. Right?
Yeah. When you do that, you're going to start to see patterns of which words are dominant, which angles are also dominant. So yeah, definitely do a little bit more research, but you have the starting points. You have decent elements for a starting point. I think you need to add a little bit more elements and structure it a little bit differently, create some variations, and then come back and bring them up. But yeah, new variations.
Okay, this one's from John. Hi, John. Feedback on these subtitles. Your practical retirement guide. Understand financial advice just for you and take steps today to boost your health and wellness through your golden years. Okay, so John, the second one is understand financial advice suited to your journey and map out a strategy to improve your health and well-being in retirement. Okay, so just as a blush, I like the first one or the second one because the first one doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not sure how financial advice is going to help me boost my health, but if I've got mapping out a strategy to improve my health, I like that better because that makes more sense. Understand financial advice suited to your journey. So my question is, in your book, how do you know what's going to be suitable for me? That's my question. Right? What about you, Brandon? I feel like my brain is not on today. What do you think?
Let's see. I was taking a look at the chat. Understanding financial advice for you. Yeah, for you, definitely remove that. Take steps to boost your health and wellness through your golden years. Again, wellness, just a little bit too vague. Suited for your journey. Map out a strategy to improve your health and well-being in retirement. They're short. I think you're missing elements, honestly. Definitely. And it's a little bit tricky because these books, practical retirement guides, they can be put out in a few different angles. You have some that are focused on financial, which is a huge part of it, right? And then you have other parts that are focused on more of like the
Health and
more of like the
wellness.
personal, yeah, more like that kind of stuff. So I would go in, take a look at your competition, same thing as before, and try to see a few patterns within the most successful books and just make sure that you have. If it's a mix between financial and more health and personal, try to have a good mix. But I think you're missing some pain point benefits in here.
Yeah, I would agree. And John said he's got variable options when it comes to financial advice. So then maybe instead of understand financial advice, I would understand options best suited to me to map out a strategy to improve my health and well-being in retirement, and maybe something about crossing things off my bucket list, living independently, being fulfilled in retirement, like finding what's the next chapter in my life, right? What am I going to do? So I think you've got a little bit more room, and I think you just need to kind of make sure that it, when you're reading the subtitle, it makes sense, right? Because I understand that your thought process, I think, John, is that if you've got the finances sewn up, you should be able to have the less worry about your health and your well-being, right? Maybe I'm going to travel, but whatever it is, I need to understand the options. And that's what you're presenting here, is that I need to understand the options best suited to me, right? So I would still play around with that. Okay. Hopefully that helps.
And subtitle two has the word retirement. Try not to
Yeah, you don't need to repeat
repeat
it.
words. All right. Hello, coaches. I have two book covers from 99 Designs that I would like opinions on or options. See the following link. All right, let's do this. Awesome. I like reviewing 99 Design covers. Most of the time they're pretty decent.
Yep.
And there's actually actionable tweaks that you can do. Let's
Because
take a
then you just
look.
send a message to the designer and say, fix this. I like that.
All right, well, these are very similar. And I think I remember maybe taking a look at some similar ones by the same person.
I feel like we have too. Like we saw the Sleeping Beauty in the bed. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, we did see quite a few of sleepy covers.
Yep.
Let's see. I like the subtitle. I mean, I like the main title better on 61. I think Master CBT could be bigger. I think it could be bigger. Master CBT is just a little bit too thin on the side. I mean, not like it's just not really
Not filling up the whole
filling up this
page.
space.
Yeah.
And I know it's not going to be able to fully fill it up, but I think there's room to kind of make that a little bit, square that off a little bit more. I like the moon as part of insomnia. I think that's pretty cool. The picture might be a little bit too dreamy, a little bit too fictiony, but I do really like it. I think it pops. I really like it. I just think it might be a little bit too fictiony, but that's not always a bad thing. Okay. But that's one thing that I can tell. And then let's take a look.
Are there any others? Or just these
Just
three?
these two. Just these two here. Same feedback for the main title, but I think I like the subtitle a little bit. It's just a little bit more creative in 61. This one's just a little bit more practical. I'm not sure if I really understand what's going on here with the subtitle, with these
The
markings.
trees?
Or
I
those
guess.
trees?
I don't know. That's what
I
they
guess
look like to me. And you're floating on
kind
a
of looks like a
cloud.
tree line. I mean, I see what they did it to have the subtitle pop in there. I get it, but I'm just not sure if it's going to be exactly the right direction there.
Think I just like the clouds in 61, not necessarily the trees and the clouds.
Exactly. And this is not a bad image either. If you really need more space for the main title, maybe you could use this image in that one. But I think they're pretty solid. I would just try and work on the subtitle there a bit. I mean, not the subtitle, the main title. Just make it really fill it up a little bit more. Your guide to conquer sleeplessness, reduce medication use, and enjoy peaceful nights. This subtitle is kind of fading into a blue, but I think it should all be white, just so it pops a little bit more. You might even want to darken out the bottom a little bit, maybe some kind of like black shadow, and then just to make sure you're getting it pop. But it looks like it's this one looks blue, or unless I'm going crazy, but enjoy
No, it
peaceful
does.
nights looks blue, and it's kind of getting lost a little bit. It's kind of like fading into it, which
Yes,
is a cool
it does.
effect, but I think it's getting lost a bit. And this banner, you could have it match this color up here. Kind of like how they did over here. They matched the whole CBT thing with the pen name. You could do something like that. I don't think it looks bad. I like how it fades from kind of like black, but either add more of a fade or add the fade and change the banner. Might look nice. Any more comments, Libby?
Okay, so I'm just wondering, does anybody not know that insomnia deals with sleep? Master
Or
CBT,
insomnia and
for
sleep.
instance, and sleep, right? So I'm kind of like, I think it's redundant, right? If I'm going to master insomnia, right? I don't need to put the and sleep. Master CBT for insomnia. End of story. Oh, okay, cool. Right? I don't know. What do you guys? I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. But I was reading that and I was like, it seems
Yeah.
redundant to me.
And it could solve the title issue because then you're gonna have more room
For
to really
space. Yeah.
tweak the other parts.
Yeah.
So that's a good comment that you might have a little bit of redundancy in there. Insomnia and sleep. Okay.
Right.
And
And
you're
if
already talking about your guide to sleeplessness
right. Which is about
anyway.
insomnia. Yep. I don't know. That's kind of just what I think. And everything else you said, I agree 100%.
Yeah, no, that's a very valid point. All right. Well, hopefully that's helpful, Rick. Try and maybe get a few variations there and maybe consider the sleepy word in there. And that was the last question.
Yay. All right. Bye, everybody. Just kidding.
Now it's time for the Q&A chat. All the burning questions that have popped up into your minds during this call. So let's do this. I'll start with Deborah. Please talk more about getting reviews. For instance, how many word pages should the summary be when I request a review? How long is your summary page, Libby, when you request
No.
reviews?
One and it stretched over two, and I was like, I don't want it over two. I just want it at one. Short, sweet, and to the point. So I literally had to tweak my request like way down. I asked chat to write it more succinctly. Then I wrote it again more succinctly. And I think it's like three sentences. There's the link in the ebook, three sentences. Here's the QR code and a thank you in both. So yeah. But how about you? One page?
Personally, I don't even do it, but if I did, it would be one page.
At the end,
Yeah.
you do it at the
What do you
end,
mean?
though, right?
What do you mean? But I think this is,
In the middle of the
are you
book?
talking about the review request inside the book?
Yeah, that's just one page.
I
Ooh.
think they're talking about the page, like when we're requesting reviews for the early readers.
Oh, sorry.
And you send them a summary. I would still do one page, but honestly, I don't do that.
I don't do that either.
Yeah, but if they lag behind, then I used to have this page where it would kind of give them some like example reviews type deal, and I can just kind of like how we have in the within the middle page, but outside. But
Do a
even
summary.
then, Deborah, for the summary, I would do one. I would do one. I think that's more than enough.
Yep. Did you see the questions from Terry and Carol regarding book covers at the very top?
For me, it starts at Deborah.
That's weird. Why does it start with Terry for me? Okay. So.
I think maybe since I came in like 2 minutes after, maybe they came
Yeah,
in right away.
probably. All right. So I'll answer this one, Terry. Can I put the link in the chat and then you just pull it up from there? Wanna do that?
I'll just copy and paste it here.
Do you have the link?
When you press answer live, I can see it.
Oh, okay, cool. And then I'll do the
Yeah.
next one down below. Okay, cool beans. Okay, this is a question from Terry from Las Vegas, where it's 103 today for her book covers. There's a video
My coach
underneath
is on vacation.
the networking video about book reviews, about book summary, by the way. Okay. All right. Basic generative AI.
All right. I'm just
Okay,
going to say 51, just cut it out. It looks too lazy.
so.
Let's just talk about these.
Right. And I was going to say 40 looks overwhelming if I'm just talking about basic AI, like that guy sitting in front of a whole bank of computers where he's going to land the space shuttle is overwhelming, right? That would not be basic for me at all. I like the cleanliness of number 28. I would have the subtitle stretch though over 3 lines, not four. And I do like the sticker there. That's the only thing I would change on that one. I like 28. It's the cleanest, easiest to read. I know what the book is about. The image in the back is kind of sci-fi-ish, AI-ish, kind of relates, but it adds interest. What about you? I'm voting 28.
I like 28 and I also like 23. I think it's pretty creative, but I would make basic a lot bigger.
The same size as generative, and this over 3 lines.
Yeah, subtitle as well, but yeah, no, I think 23 and 28 are pretty good. This one's not bad, but it does kind of look like it's just a lot more advanced.
Right.
It's like the guy that sits behind a computer for Batman. I forget his name. It's not a bad looking cover though, that's for sure. But I do think you have other ones that might be paint a better picture there. But yeah, I think these two are the best.
Yep. I am curious though, why are they different sizes?
Where?
In 28 and 23, like the whole thing is a different size. 23 is bigger than 28.
Maybe it's the way they uploaded it. I'm not sure. I'm
Maybe.
not sure.
But wouldn't it be interesting if that was a trick used by designers to have you gravitate towards their cover because it's bigger? You don't necessarily notice that it is a little bit bigger on the page.
Maybe
So
because it
then,
pops more than the others. Yeah.
yeah, then it pops more than the others.
That's interesting.
It's a ploy. It's all a ploy. Yeah. 23, 28. Those are my two favorites. Well, 23, Brandon, 28, me.
Yeah, and I think 28 is pretty good too. Just make the basic a lot bigger, make that subtitle a lot smaller, and yeah, I think you'll be able to have a decent cover.
Yep, Philip, totally suspicious right there.
All right, next.
I think is that one from Carol. Yep.
Let's see what we got. Oh, Carol, let's do this. Another cover. I wonder if we've seen Carol's covers before.
I don't know.
Oh, Carol, you're going to need to give us access. I'm going to request it and then just let us know once that is done. And we'll come back to this.
All right. I will answer David's question. David says each day of the week has a particular cue and a particular focus. No, they don't. But like today is general, Wednesday is general, Tuesday is book cover and book title. Thursday is proof of concept. Friday is all things tech. Sunday, Wednesday, it's a free for all. Does that work, David? Hopefully it does.
All right, so Carol said the first eight covers are my top picks. The last page is competition examples. Let's see. Okay. Oh, we've got access. Let's do this. Right. We have a lot of yellow.
It's very popular in that niche. Yellow
And
and
these are
black.
your competitors.
Yeah, see, look at all the yellow in there.
Too much yellow. Let's take a look. Okay. Which one do you like, Libby?
Hang on, hang on. I gotta get my. I think. Are 3, 4, 7, and 8 the same? Or am I losing my mind? Except for the tape around the corner and
Three,
around
four.
the edge.
Yeah, essentially. And same with these ones. They're all technically the same, just with different border colors.
Okay. I think I like 1 and 5. How about you?
1 and 5. Okay. I was definitely leaning in the same direction. I think 5 is pretty good. No grid survival projects. Yeah, I think 2 and 6 look a little bit
Maybe.
homemade.
Yeah, homemade.
Just a little bit. And also the title in number 2 is just too small. At least in number 6, or is that? Yeah, at least in number 6 it's a little bit bigger. But still, I think it might be the way the subtitle is shown, just the pictures square for the sub and the main title. So I do think number 1 and 5, with 5 being my favorite.
I agree.
What do you think about 3, 4, and 7, and 8?
I think they're too busy.
They do look pretty busy, don't they?
Yep. It's too busy for
Let's
me.
Take a look. It's a little bit too busy. I think the black one is not too bad, but it's
It's
definitely
busy.
busy in there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and the border
Let me
with
get that
like
wrong.
the, I'm going to call it caution tape for lack of a better word, around the edge. Really makes it busy. It overwhelms me. Like I'm
Hard
looking
to
for a
look
book
at.
that's clean and I know what it's about. Oh, okay, cool. That would be 1 or 5. That looks professional.
All righty.
That's what I got.
Let's move on here.
All right. Did that one.
See, so we have Angelica. I'm new. I already got DS Amazon. How can I see how much a book is making in the Amazon book search? So Angelica, the DS Amazon extension is going to tell you the bestseller rank. If you want to see how much the book is making, you need to do that through Katie Spy. Yeah. So download the extension, load it up, search up your keyword, and then you're going to be able to see it.
All right. This one is from Julie. How do I take a screenshot on a PC? Uh-oh. So Julie, Mac, Brandon, Mac.
Mac.
Okay, guys, help Julie out in the chat. Please put down there how you take a screenshot on a PC. And if nothing else, Julie, just go to Google and Google that because I have a Mac. Brandon has a Mac. Philip says you snip it. That doesn't help me, Philip. I don't even know what that means. Step by step.
Oh, snippet is like a tool. It's like
like,
I've
where
heard
do
of
I
it.
go,
Yeah.
right? Because I know how to do
I use a snip
screenshots on
tool.
a Mac, right? Like
Yeah.
screen, yeah, all of that snipping tool. All right.
Yeah, search up keyword shortcut for your model, or maybe like your year with Windows. I don't know how PC people do things,
I don't
but
either. All right.
all right. And Carol, if you do like that caution tape thing, there might be a way to incorporate that in one of the black ones, in a tasteful way. So if you like it, I think you might be able to incorporate that somehow. Maybe the border, maybe not the border, but I think it could be done in a tasteful way. Just talk to the designer. They usually have some decent ideas and get the
Right.
best of both worlds in there. All right.
I'm not sure though how the caution tape really relates to the topic.
What was the topic again? Survival, no grid.
Off-grid survival projects.
Let me take a look at the comp. Well, I mean, only one person in the competition was using it.
Yeah.
I
But
think
that's
the caution tape, like if it was like preppers, no grid survival, then I think it would like kind of go because preppers are always about, that
being
caution.
cautious.
But yeah, no, you are right, Libby. It's not like 100% needed.
I mean, if it was a book about road work or crime scene processing, I think I might. Right. I mean, personally. Okay. This one is from Deborah. How good was your AI generated full manuscript? How happy were you with it? I'm assuming. This is, did I just mention that I had an AI generated manuscript earlier today? Was done in like
That it
45
got it
minutes.
did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Deborah, my manuscript is a political science topic related, and my son is getting a degree in political science. So, I'm not editing the book. He is, right? It's his project. And he said that he is, for the most part, having to do some pretty extensive editing. But I think with the AI generated manuscripts, if you're going to make a decent book, you do have to edit it. So, with his version
Yeah.
of editing extensively, I don't know, he doesn't live here. So, anyway, I think for the most part, I'm going to say he is 75% happy with it. And now he's editing it. So, happy and editing are not really the same thing in my mind, right? Because you got to do the work if you want a good book.
Yeah.
Very
Even when
helpful.
you get a human one, like 80, 90% of the time, you still
Got
need
to
to do
edit.
some
Yeah.
decently heavy editing onto it. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So it says, I have two from Deborah, two related proof of concept topics. One has lots of books doing well, the other has fewer. I'm concerned about competition. Which is a better choice for making money? Deborah, it's just not enough information to give you a good answer on that one. Because imagine we tell you one and that one happens to be like, yoga exercises for seniors, which is very, very saturated, then it wouldn't really be a correct reflection. So give us a little bit more information. But generally, as a rule of thumb, I mean, you do want to see more books doing well with a decent amount of reviews. If you see a lot of books doing well, but they have over 1,000 reviews, then they've cornered that little market share for themselves. That's not necessarily market share that you can steal. So focus on books that are doing well within a decent amount of reviews. And what amount is that? I think that's going to vary depending on the niche, but anything that's going to be achievable, say, if a lot of them of the book are under 300 and they're all doing really well, then that'd be a pretty good sign. But if you can give us some more information, that would be pretty good. All right.
Okay, so the next question is from Yok. He is looking where you can find the file with a list of designers from Fiverr and Upwork, etc. Okay, so I went into the AIA platform, and if you go to down, there's like a list of, like one through pages 1, 2, 3. Down at the bottom, it says team of ghostwriters, and when you open that up, you've got ghostwriters, you've got designers, you've got a variety of different skill sets, I think, in here besides ghostwriters. At least I'm hoping so. Hang on, I'm still
There
scrolling. Here
should
we
be
go.
some cover designers in there.
Yep, and there they are. Yep, so it's all in the AIA platform. And you know, you've got your lessons, and down towards the first page is it's right there, ghostwriters. Hopefully you can find that.
And I just sent that over as well.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
And there we go. All right, so we got Gina. I'm planning to publish an assortment of books, nonfiction, children's picture books, coloring books, and yeah, I guess that's young adult novels. Would it be wise to use different pen names for each category? I think so. I definitely think so. Depending on the coloring book, you might be able to, put them together with a children's picture book, maybe. But generally, these all sound like very different avenues. So yes, I would recommend use different pen names.
Okay, this one is from Dave. Oh, I'll be done with that one. Sorry. This one's from Dave. I'm nearly finished with my manuscript. Congratulations. What are my steps to get published on Amazon? Additionally, I would like to have audio and Kindle versions as well. Okay, so if you are done with your manuscript, Dave, I'm going to suggest that you continue on through module 5 because you've got to get your book formatted, and your book will be formatted for both print and ebook versions. You'll need to have covers for ebook, paperback, hardback, and ACX. And if you just keep working through the program, all of these lessons are going to unfold for you. But once you're done with the manuscript, your next step is going to be formatting and then getting the covers done and all of that. And then everything else is going to just be right there in front of you for you to figure out. It won't be hard. All right? Just stick with the program.
All right, so we got Deborah. Do you have any experience with LinkedIn for marketing books? I have a bigger following here than on Facebook. All right, so I mean, the only type of marketing that I will engage in on things that are not Amazon are going to be getting reviewers. You can make posts. If you have a following, make posts, promote it. You can offer freebies, try to drive people onto Amazon. But from my experience, just overall, Amazon ads is going to be your best way to drive sales. And anything outside of that, use it for early reviewers, which is also the best way to drive sales. But if you do have a following, just keep posting it. But I do recommend that you run the Facebook ad strategy, except you can run it on LinkedIn. You could also apply that and run it on TikTok if you have the right audience for it. Kind of lead them to a landing page and that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's the main type of marketing that I think is effective on platforms that are outside of Amazon when you focus on those early reviewers. I've tried to run sales through Facebook ads on books, but I think it's very niche dependent, and you also need a whole funnel to do it properly. So yeah, but I would run those early reviewer strategies on LinkedIn. I think that's great.
Okay, this one is from Kathy. I'm looking at this title, working on my 7-day challenge. Missing something to make it read better. Love, learn, last. Navigating marriage after 40 with emotional intelligence. This detailed outline provides a comprehensive roadmap for writing a book that offers practical strategies and exercises to enhance emotional intelligence, self-awareness, communication skills, empowering couples to create a harmonious and enduring partnership as they start a new chapter in their lives together. So, Kathy, first of all, 7-day challenge, it's kind of a no holds bar, kind of free for all kind of thing. If this is what you want to put down, go for it. However, from a book title kind of viewpoint, I would trim this down dramatically, or your whole cover is going to be your book title. How about instead of navigating, how about navigate marriage after 40 with EEI or emotional intelligence? I guess you could spell it out, but I would just whittle this down to just like, what's your offer? A comprehensive roadmap. What are the pain points? Or your could be the practical strategies. What are the pain points? Self-awareness, communication skills, stuff like that. Harmonious couples. Just keep that down to three, and then what your end result is going to be, your desired outcome, is an enduring partnership to start a new chapter. So trim that down, make it a little bit more succinct. Remember, 7-day challenge, we don't really stress over too much. We just do it. All right? All right. There you go.
All right. We got Steven. I'm wanting to do a guide on an upcoming sporting event that will be happening about a year down the road. Are there any trademark infringement type of situations I could run into? I'm just going to suggest certain things for the travelers in various cities. I mean, Steven, as long as you don't name your book the name of the event, then I think you're good, right? And just try to avoid putting any of those words in the title, name of the sporting event. But other than that, if you're just gonna like recommend people like a few hotels, a few restaurants, that's totally fine. As long as you don't title your book something that's the name of the contest or whatever it might be, then I think you should be good. But if it's like, for example, like the Olympics, I think that would be fine, right, Libby? If it was like a guide to follow the Olympics in Paris, like I don't think that would be trademarkable.
So we did have, you're not like saying this is, you know, the Olympics. And I think you can do that. But I know that we have had students that did books like that about like the Olympics and had no issues, and other books that had like the Olympics in their title and they had issues. So it's kind of, I wish I could say definitively you can do it this way, but not this way. But I cannot. Sorry.
Yeah. The downside is that Amazon, like, they have automated systems for all these things. And sometimes things get triggered and people get by. Like, there's like an abundance of coloring books about Disney princess, about Marvel characters. And they do not own these rights to them, but they're there and they make
and
thousands
they sell,
of dollars.
Right? Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of people also get flagged. And I think a lot of these people publish these in dummy accounts because they know that at any moment that can be taken down, but you know, but that's not really the good way to go about it, because you're really putting yourself at risk, in those kind of situations. Yeah. All right, let's go on to the next.
Hey, this one's from Lorraine. She has a subtitle question. Whether you want to browse art galleries or museums, stroll through parks or cemeteries, hike, bike, picnic, stargaze, tube or down or swim down the creek, welcome and enjoy yourself. There's a lot there, Lorraine. Is that okay? So I'm not really 100% sure what the question is, but you definitely need to trim this down, right? And is this your 7-day challenge book, or is this your 30K book? Lorraine, are you there? Not sure. Oh, she says 7-day challenge. Again, we don't really worry about that too much with 7-day challenge books, about tweaking our subtitles to make them perfect. But I would trim that down. Otherwise your whole cover is going to be the subtitle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say All something right. general, like enjoy outdoor activities, aquatic and non-aquatic, right? Yeah.
All right. So we got Carol. Oh, and it's you submitted your question. You're not sure if we got to it, but we did get to it, so that's good.
So
yeah.
I think
well, it ends in 20 hours. Good luck. Good luck there. And then you said your coach is unavailable until next week, and this is my first book. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to it. That's awesome. If you need more feedback, you could reach out to same way you contact Manya, but start a new thread. And that way VIP support team catches it first and they know she's gone and they can send that off to another helpful coach. But I hope you got enough feedback there, Carol.
Yeah. And Carol, don't forget, you are selecting your designer at the end of the contest, and you can still make tweaks even after your contest is over, per se. You're selecting the designer, not the book cover that you have to marry. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay, she put it in there again. I think we've got it. All right, this is from Anna. Using variations on the title, Be the Parent You Wish You Had. I've written it as a small book on a 7-day challenge. Hang on. Want to expand it to 3 small books and a larger one. Your thoughts. My thought is, does it meet proof of concept, Anna? So before you spend the time to branch all of this out, does the topic meet proof of concept? I get that it's a book about parenting, but what about parenting? So I would explore book topics about parenting, and maybe instead of that being the book title, Be the Parent You Wish You Had, that would be a sticker I would put on my book about parenting, not necessarily the main title. Hopefully that's helpful. All right.
See, we got Anthony Williams. What do you do for your pre-readers? I'm currently collecting them and getting feedback. All right, Anthony, I'm not sure what the question is here. But yeah, the pre-readers, we have to find them. We have to confirm that they would want to give feedback to our book once it's published, and then we have to send them those early reviewer copies. And if they do say yes for the early reviewer copy, you might as well just ask for their email. Be like, sure, we'll send it over through email. And that way you can start building also a list there of people that you can reach out to later. And once that's done, simply send them a copy, give them a little bit of time to read, follow the steps in the course. And then once your book is live, we can go in there and we can go request reviews.
Oh, he said, where do you personally find them? Is
Where do
it
we find
Amazon?
early reviewers?
Yeah.
Mainly Facebook. Mainly Facebook. Facebook ads is one of the best ways to do almost anything. But there are some niches that are not going to be as engaged on Facebook, or maybe you just don't get the right cost per result. In that case, you really need to shift your creatives, your ads around, or you could even start to take a look at websites like LinkedIn. Right. If you have a book on negotiation and each early reviewer is costing you $10 on Facebook, go to LinkedIn. You might have a better shot there. Yeah. But always start with Facebook. That's where I would always start. And then we also have a few more lessons on using your personal networks, on how to do it. And yeah, that can also work pretty well.
Okay, this is for Joy. Will you please repeat the theme of the weekly AIA Q&A calls? I feel like we should put that on a slide when we start. What do you think? Okay, so we have Tuesdays, book cover, book title. Wednesday, free for all, anything. Thursday, POC, proof of concept for you new people. Friday, tech, all things tech. And Sunday, free for all. Hope you got it. All right.
All right. All right. We got Marina. What subtitle do you prefer? For outdoor survival and sustainability, should I drop sustainability? I mean, I don't necessarily think you need to drop it, but maybe just do a little bit more research, see if maybe there might be a better thing to group it with or a better angle to take. But let's take a look at the subtitle. Essential wilderness techniques for effective emergency preparedness and self-sufficiency. The complete guide to master wilderness skills and emergency preparedness. Master the art of wilderness survival with practical knowledge for self-sufficiency. They're all too short. They're all too short. You need to have an introduction that lets people know what it is. Is it step by step? Is it easy? Is it a guide? What is it? And then you want to have 3 pain point benefits. And then you also want to have a strong closing line to paint a picture of what life is like once you have all those 3 pain point benefits in there. So it's just missing too many elements for me to give you a favorite. But you have the complete guide, essential wilderness techniques, master the art of wilderness. I think you have a pretty good starting for both, but it's really the body and the outro of these subtitles that are missing. So more pain point benefits, and then try to paint a good picture at the end.
Okay, this
All
is a
right, next up.
question from Paul. I've watched the puppy training, still unclear about a few points. Should I click on standard and supply puppy with a PDF or EPUB, which readers can review for free, or click on verified purchase? If the reviewer doesn't have to pay to read my book, then I'm concerned that it's not a verified purchase. Well, you're right about that. If they don't pay to buy your book, then it won't be a verified purchase. Of course, puppy is saying I have to pay a one-time fee of $14.99 to get a verified purchase. What should I do? I always get verified purchases for my books. I have the link to my ebooks, and that's how I do it. I paid the $14.99. And when I review books, also, I always do verified purchase because then I get the most snaps for my time. Personally, that's the way I do it. Verified purchase, the way to go. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, I'll request a few free here and there, but like the ratio would be 90% verified, 10% free. It's very important, and I hope no one is expecting to get all your 100 reviews using the free reviews, because that's the number one way to get in trouble with Amazon. So focus all your priorities on verified efforts. You could sprinkle a few free ones here and there, but be really conservative with those sprinkles of pre. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That is it for today. And that's perfect
Yay.
because there's more calls.
Yes, more calls today.
Top of the hour. Yeah.
I built myself in a
All
break.
right. And Mary, I did put in the trademark link to the trademark lesson in there. I sent it in at 1:36. That's going to take you straight to it. So I hope you got that. But other than that, I think we're
Right,
good.
everybody.
Oh, wait, there's one more that came in. It's going to be the last one. What is your financial budget for verified reviews per book? I'm going to say it's unlimited. It's ongoing. You might not have a huge budget for it to begin with, but that's okay. It's an ongoing thing. Spend what you can month by month, and the trick is to simply not stop. This is a long journey.
Long game.
This is the type of business where you see the fruits of your labor down the line. But once you see it, you're gonna thank yourself for sticking with it. Okay? But it takes time. It doesn't come easy. Just like any other business, it's like how many restaurants are successful when they come up. I think the success rate is pretty staggering.
It's
A lot of,
really low, really, really.
yeah. And these are launched by people that know what they're doing. Sometimes they have multiple restaurants. And that's kind of what it is with books sometimes. I think it's much higher, the success rate, but that's kind of how it is. Sometimes you put a book in there and it might not be received positively right away. Could be the topic, could be the reviews, could be many things. But keep putting reviews, keep putting more books out, and you will see the success that you want. You'll see it.
Yep. And
All
don't
right.
forget those books that you buy to review, they're a tax write-off.
Nice.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay, everybody. It was great to see y'all. And have a great rest of your weekend. See
Enjoy.
y'all. Ciao.